So on my way to work this morning, I was listening to John MacArthur. I have a sermon of his on Sunday morning on Family Life Radio, just during the time when I'm going, which is perfect. And he made a statement this morning that really hit me pretty good, because a lot of times you hear the same truths, but then you hear it from a different angle, and all of a sudden it clicks. And the statement he made was, no one in the kingdom of God is too weak to be powerfully used of him, but many are too strong. It's the difference between reliance on self and reliance on him. You rely on God, he will make up all your deficits. You rely on you, he'll let you. And then the results are not quite as good. Tonight, the title of my teaching is Trusting Our Perfect God. Webster's 1828 defines trust as confidence in and reliance upon the integrity, which is honesty, veracity, truthfulness, justice, fairness, and friendship, which is goodwill, or the other sound principles of another person. Basically, the belief that the one we place our trust in will treat us as we ought to be treated. And we cannot have more than a superficial relationship with anyone until we decide to trust them. The more we trust them, the deeper and stronger that relationship grows. Well, Scripture tells us that God is trustworthy and that we need to trust him in like manner as others. But it's not the same type of relationship, of course. We can see others acting on our behalf, but we often struggle to see God's actions on our behalf. So on what ground, or on what should we ground our trust? Well, let's start with a general description of our God. How do we describe God? Just in a general sense, not his attributes. One of the early church fathers, St. Anselm, described God as the being that than which no greater can be said to be, which is a nice basic description, simply the greatest being. Okay, but it's basic. But what's our general description? Well, we prefer to go to the Bible for our description. And in the Bible, we learn that God is our creator, our sustainer, and the Lord of the universe, or our ruler. And these three titles, creator, sustainer, and Lord of the universe, encompasses every aspect of creation and of life in our lives. We also talk about God as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things, to include time itself. God actually stands outside the dimension of time. And being outside of time, he has neither beginning or end. It just doesn't apply to him. God created time as the start point of his process of creation, for all created things are measured by time. There's a period before they existed, a period while they exist, and a period after they exist. Time enables us to move through our physical world and to organize our lives, to compartmentalize our lives into manageable pieces, which we as finite beings need to do. In other words, God created time for us. But being outside the time stream, God is able to see all of his creation, to include people, past, present, and future, and all the events, activities, and circumstances of his creation as happening right in front of him simultaneously. We can't understand this in our hearts. It's one of the mysteries that a finite being cannot really understand the infinite. But this is what we mean when we say that he sees the big picture. He sees how everything fits together according to the plan he laid out for his creation before his creation. He also exists outside of space, but we'll get to that in a minute. We assign many attributes to God according as he's revealed himself to us in Scripture and through his Spirit to our hearts and minds. But I would put forth to you that God's most basic attribute is that of perfection. Out of it and through it, his other attributes achieve their godly, perfect quality. We know that perfection, in the general sense that the Bible uses it most of the time, it means complete, perfect, lacking nothing. And let's talk about a few of those attributes in light of God's perfection. We're going to start with power. God has power, right? Which is the ability to do things. But God's power, when you add perfection to it, equals what? Class. Okay. Omnipotence. That's okay. You can participate. Omni, all potence power. Perfect power means all power, lacking none. If we believed God's power was limited in any way, would we still think of him as God? I don't think so. God governs our every breath. He protects us from the enemy who would love to destroy all true Christians and really all life immediately. And really, we don't often think that every time we take a breath, that was God saying, here's another one. Okay? But that's the truth behind omnipotence. When we think about infinite power, sometimes because we're finite beings, we know we can't fully get our mind around that concept. Sometimes we don't realize even what we can realize. When you place anything against any finite amount of anything against an infinite amount of that same thing, that finite amount shrinks until it disappears. Let's say we have a black dot. Here's a black dot I've drawn on the whiteboard. It has dimension, it has height, it has width. You can picture it if you want as a sphere, in which case it would have depth. But here's this black dot. This black dot is a certain finite size. Now let's say this white space around the black dot is infinite. It goes on forever. Well, to put that in perspective, you would have to keep backing up to see this space around this black dot, to try to get the magnitude of that space. And of course, the further you backed up, the smaller and smaller that dot gets. And you'd have to back up in perpetuity. And that black dot would very quickly shrink to be invisible. And it would very quickly lose all meaning. That black dot is Satan's power. The infinite space around there is God's power. There never was a battle in heaven. When Satan rebelled against God, there was no battle. All Satan succeeded in doing with his rebellion was getting himself ejected, along with a bunch of his loser followers. The only battle there ever was for humanity. And that was won almost exactly 2,000 years ago. Amen? Against God's infinite power, Satan is nothing. He's already defeated, long defeated. Let's look at the second perfect we've got here. God also has knowledge, right? Knowledge is stored information. When we say God has perfect knowledge, that perfection turns that knowledge into what? Omniscience. God knows everything. Nothing surprises him. He has a plan. He sees exactly how everything needs to happen to fulfill that plan, and he uses his perfect power to make it happen. Satan does not have omniscience. He is absolutely limited. If he knows what's coming, it's because he's read the Bible. And even then, I don't know how much is actually revealed to him. But God is omniscient. Let's look at another attribute. God has presence, right? The ability to occupy a point in space and time. When you add perfection to his presence, what do you get? Omnipresence. All presence, meaning all places at once. So God doesn't occupy a place in space and time. He occupies all places. The best way to understand this, if we can, is to picture the universe as existing within the mind of God. We have, let's just say, the universe is our solar system. And we have our sun here, and we have the planets. And is there anywhere where God is not? He's not only in all these places, he's around all these places. He's around this place that we call the Milky Way. He's everywhere in the universe. And if he's everywhere in the universe, then the universe is inside him. So God exists actually outside of space. He surrounds space. He doesn't have to move from point to point as we do. All points exist within his being. That's why he's always everywhere. When he has designated places where he is, quote unquote, in Scripture, such as Mount Sinai or the temple at Jerusalem, that's purely for our benefit. So we have a point to focus on, as is necessary for us to fulfill his will. Due to the universe existing inside God, as opposed to he inside the universe, he's able to take a piece of the universe and move it outside of himself, a place where he chooses not to be. We call this piece that God has forsaken, what class? Hell. Hell is the one place in the universe God has separated away from himself, or the place where he's chosen not to be. That's why we talk about hell as being eternal separation from God. That's the main reason that hell is going to be hell, is because we will not have any contact with God. One of the ladies on Friday night, when I brought this up, said, but there's a verse in Psalms that says, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. Which is good, right? Except we need to read the Bible in context. And if you read that psalm in context, what you'll find is the psalmist is talking about fleeing from God from place to place to place. And wherever he flees, God finds him. He can't run from God. None of us can run from God. So the psalmist was saying, even if I flee to hell, you're going to find me. God doesn't abide there. He doesn't live there. He can go there if he chooses. He went there 2,000 years ago for a brief moment. There's so many other attributes that we could talk about. Love, mercy, grace, justice. All these exist within God in their most perfect or complete forms as well. Here's a question. How does God justify or bring into balance or mesh together the contradictory attributes of his perfect love and his perfect mercy with his perfect righteousness and his perfect justice? Because perfect love says, I don't condemn anybody. Perfect justice says, there's got to be a punishment for sin. Perfect mercy says, I want to forgive absolutely everybody. Perfect righteousness says, we can't. There's got to be a penalty paid. How did God mesh those attributes together within himself? Any idea? Jesus. Five letters. Describing the most perfect being. But because God is perfect, because we believe that he possesses all these attributes in their most perfect state, we can trust him. His perfect love assures us of his perpetual goodwill toward us. His perfect knowledge combines with that love to assure us that he has created a personalized and perfect plan for each one of us and is able to perfectly guide us through it. His perfect power assures us that he is able to protect us and provide for us within the scope of that plan, regardless of any and all opposition. And his perfect presence assures us that he is with us throughout our personal life journey, especially, of course, in the dark times. The more we trust him, the more we'll surrender to and obey him. The more we obey him, the greater peace and joy we receive from being in a loving relationship with him. Because God is perfect, he is trustworthy. And that is my teaching for the time, which is going to be a blessing to all of you because I'm about 7 minutes early. Announcements. We have coming up on the 23rd and 24th of August, the Overcomer movie. I'm not familiar with that. I haven't looked it up. But looks like a good, you know, should be a good one. If the pastor's advertising it, he's done his research. Obviously, on the 25th, we have the Sunday men's prayer meeting. September 1st is our Labor for Life Sunday. There will be no evening service on September 1st. And I think that's about all I have. Anything else, Dave? Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day you've given us. We've all had different days, and yet, Lord, you've worked in our lives, protecting us and providing us, providing for us and guiding us through these days. I thank you, Lord, for our ability to be here tonight, that we answered the conviction to be here and to gather together to fellowship with each other and maybe to learn a little something, Lord, that we can take with us. You are a perfect God. You are worthy of our trust. Lord, you love us beyond our ability to comprehend, beyond any way in which we could love you back. And please, Lord, remind us that you're always working for our good. And when we have these trials in our life that we don't understand, that seem like they're going to overwhelm us and take us away, that there's a reason. And you're always at work in our lives. And whether you want us to learn something, whether you want us to be an example for those around us, a testimony to the unsaved. Whatever your purpose is, Lord, it's perfect. We thank you, Lord, for the awesome way in which you showed your perfect love to us by sending your Son. We thank you, Lord, that because of his perfect obedience to you, we have perfect assurance that we are on our way to heaven. We thank you, Lord, for a decision that was made today for heaven. We pray, Lord, that you will get us all home safely tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.